a tutti.
I have no idea what's wrong with her.
Ciao a tutti.
So this has been going on for the last 3 days.
Ciao a tutti.
Mm-hmm.
Come te la passi?
Yeah, that's what we're living with these days. Ever since she stopped trying to run the half mile. This is what Emily's been up to.
Well, it was sort of run outside where it's hot and also there are bugs, or sit inside with a translator and learn other languages, which just makes me so much more worldly and cultured, and I feel like I'm just becoming a better person.
Uh-huh. Well, then who's supposed to run with the bugs if you're not running with the bugs? They have no one to run with it.
There's a lot of bugs. I feel like they can run or fly with each other.
Bugs don't run, Emily. They don't.
Oh. Well, maybe I'll have to rethink my life choices, but today I am glad that I learned how to say ciao a tutti, because we are going to talk about Mamma Mia.
Yeah, that's probably the best part of what this entire thing that we're about to talk about.
Wow, you have strong feelings.
I do have strong feelings about it. And now I'm just going to grab the mic and take over, even though it's not really a mic.
What?
Okay. What is this musical? We do not even have rating scales for this because it blew up all the scales. We're like, oh, but there's no violence. Oh, there's no violence. No, it blew up everything, this show. And it took all of our strength to keep holding on to our pearls, or they would have blown up as well. It is one of the most terrible shows ever. And when I went to see it, people had brought their children with them. Why are there children at this musical? I have no answers for this. Let me just tell you the story in short, and then we'll see if we can wean anything. No, I don't think there's anything positive to say about it. Oh yeah, it ended. I was there, and then it ended. That's the best thing I have to say about it. Short story is, you got Sophie, who's, I think she's like 19 or something like that, and her mom runs this little kind of like bed and breakfast kind of thing on this Greek island. So she's going to get married. And she doesn't know who her father is, but she finds out the possibilities of who her father could be from like her mom's diary or something. So she sends 3 different guys invitations to come to the wedding and give her away. Okay, and hilarity and hijinks ensue or something like that. And basically, we're never told who the father is. Question number one, how on earth can someone not know who their daughter's father is? You know how that means that these like love affairs that she had happened really close together. Many questions on that. And then number two, after everything is done, and then when the guy does end up like, oh, let's get married, you know, to the mom, like, oh, I was always thinking about you, so let's just get married now, all these many moons later. But at the end, Sophie tells her fiance, what's his name, Skylar or something like that, who even cares? She's like, maybe we are too young to get married. Let's not get married. Let's go travel the world. And I want to know, why can't you get married and then travel the world? Like, it's almost like saying, we're going to go travel the world together for however long, and we're just not going to get married in case I'm going to dump you somewhere along the way. I don't even know what that's supposed to be.
I think that might be for tax reasons.
Yeah, she doesn't exactly outline her reasons for it, but like the whole time it's like, oh, you're 19, why are you getting married? Why are you getting married? But like, I love him so much, he's my true love, blah, 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 whatever. And then at the end it becomes, oh, maybe I am too young to get married, so let's just travel the world together. I don't understand why you can't be married and travel the world together. I don't understand that part. There is a lot I don't understand about this musical, okay? And also, the mom has her friends there, and one of the friends is like hitting on one of the fiance's friends, or he's hitting on her kind of thing, so there's like a whole cougar situation going on there. It's not comfortable. And even though they don't outright say it, but there's like really, everything's very sensual, the song that they have with each other. The whole show is terrible. We're only talking about it to tell you how terrible it is, and don't go near it, and don't bring your kids near it. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, I think, well, for that song in particular, I happen to like that song, but because they were using the music of ABBA, I think is how you say it, because they were using the music, they had to create the story around the music, which is one of the things, I like musicals, I even like jukebox musicals, but I tend to prefer the jukebox musicals where they're taking the musical canon of an artist and then telling that artist's story, right. Like Jersey Boys or Beautiful. Right. Those are great. But when you just say, hey, we're going to take all this music that's great and trying to make a story around it, it's not usually, unless it's something like the Marvelous Wonderettes, where it's just like silly and fun, so you know they're not really trying to make a good story, then it's okay. But something like Mamma Mia or Rock of Ages, where they were trying to do...
terrible, yes. But that's, they didn't have to use that song. They didn't have to use it. So you could say, oh, that's how it fit in the story, but don't use it in the story. That's true. There's other music to choose from. The story...
That's true. You're right.
The story came out probably, I don't know if it was in the 70s that it first came out, or that's when the music came out, and they wrote the show later on. Oh, we didn't even look that up. Well, who cares? But, so it's
the
the
show was later.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be one of these, like, feminist ones about, like, the mother bringing up her daughter kind of situation, and, like... Or I think it's, like, takes place, like, it has kind of that, like, feminist, without being, like, overtly feminist, but it has kind of that stuff to it. But, I'm like, come on, is that really the best story you could come up with this music? Like, come on. Come on, people. Who even thinks of a story like this? It's terrible.
Yeah, it's a weird... By the way, the musical, the premiere was in London. That was in 1999. I didn't realize it was that old. I'm actually sort of... I'm surprised. I knew it was, I guess I saw it probably when I was like a teenager. So that's already mid-2000s. So I guess it makes sense. It had already been out. Anyway, 1999. Of course, there was a movie more recently. Can we talk about the movie for a second?
Yeah,
because how can it be that you have whatever budget and you can get Meryl Streep and you can get all of these huge actors, but for a musical, but... only Amanda Seyfried really could sing? Like, I don't understand movie musicals that don't cast singers. Or do you like they did for My Fair Lady, right? You had Audrey Hepburn playing the role, but you had Marnie Nixon doing the singing. Or Marnie Nixon also did the singing for Natalie Wood in West Side Story. Like, fine, you want a big name or you want a certain person to play the part. So have someone else who can sing if you're going to do a musical. Like, Pierce Brosnan could not sing.
Yeah. Well, that's like they took Marlon Brando and tried to teach him how to sing for Guys and Dolls. And it's not supposed to be a comedy, but if you watch the way he sings Luck Be a Lady, like, I don't know what he's doing with his jaw. Like, I don't. It's moving in these weird directions because he's trying to sing. Yeah, I don't understand that either. But even though I think officially, I think Meryl Streep was originally trained for stage, I think. I think I once saw that she wanted, like, a Broadway career and like it didn't happen like that, so that could be why like she finally got to like live the dream sort of thing. But yeah, like Pierce Brosnan, like what is he doing there and why would he agree? Like, does he think he could sing or is it just like, sure, I'd love to be part of this fun, so I want to be part of the fun? Like, what's going through people's heads in that moment?
Yeah, or their managers, because you would think that a manager would say, hey, listen, Pierce, look, you are great, you are a good actor. But if we put you in this and you can't sing, people are going to laugh at you, especially the younger generation who doesn't really know you, going to laugh at you. And I'm sure he is a good actor, but not everyone can sing. They're different talents. Being able to sing is a different talent from being able to dance. It's different from being able to act, and they're all valid. But not everyone can do all three. Not everyone can even do two of them.
Yeah, it was just like another horror, like on top of all the other horrors with this. It's like they almost say they deserved it. Sorry. It's just... I have such a hard time with this story. And I know they came out with the second one that I can't even believe they came out with a second one.
There's a sequel.
But?
I was just going to say, but wait, there's more because there was a sequel.
I think I was on the plane and I turned it on for like a second. I was like, what am I doing? And I turned it off. I was like, I must have been, I don't know what was going on then that I was just, oh, that was a good idea to watch. Like, no, it wasn't. And I didn't watch it. It was just so, I was like, what am I doing here? Bye. It's so terrible. Every time I think about it, I shake my head. It's just so terrible. And people, I think they're just so excited because it's the music that we loved and grew up with. So we're going to take our kids to see it. Like, no, you guys cannot just get carried away in the music. You have to pay attention to what's going on in the story. And the story is terrible. Yeah. It's a bad story. It's bad.
Which is too bad because people do love the music. And most of it's fun music, sort of music that you want to dance to. So it is actually a shame because this could be a good... If the story were different, it could be a fun, like, oh, we'll go with the family and it'll be fun and it'll just be lighthearted and cute. You know, they could have gone lighthearted and cute, but instead they went boundary pushing, I guess. And
it's just, I think
pushing boundaries for pushing boundaries' sake doesn't usually work.
Yeah, just a bad story. Well, that's like what they did with Nice Work If You Can Get It, which is they took Gershwin music and they made, and that was fun. It was just fun. So that's like the way you want to go. Not, I don't know what this monstrosity was. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually remember, so, and I was in probably like 7th or 8th grade or somewhere around that age. I went to summer camp. It was this thing where you go to summer camp with your grandparents for a week, with other kids who were also there with their grandparents. And we had a talent show, and there were other kids there from England, so they knew this musical, and they wanted to do Mamma Mia as a song for the talent show. So I remember doing a song and dance to it. And I didn't know the musical at that point. And just that song, I guess, on its own, it's not a big deal. But anyway, so then I got into the musical and I wanted to see it. But my parents, who are wise souls, did not let me see the musical quite yet. Because I think my mom had seen it and realized that it wasn't really quite the right age for us. So I saw it when I was a little bit older. I was already like some teenager.
Yeah, you were so defiant when you see Mamma Mia. That was your rebellion as a teen.
One time I stayed up all night reading when my parents told me I had to go to sleep. So, yeah.
Wow.
I'm a rebel.
Oh, you are a rebel. That's why you're down in the bunker here with me, because it's people like us who will defend society against monstrosities like Mamma Mia. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're welcome, everyone.
Yeah.
Because now you don't have to spend the time. You know what you should do?
Be a rebel too. Oh, go, know what?
Pick up an album or download the album. I guess that's what the kids are doing these days. And listen to the music. You can listen to the Broadway cast recording, or you can listen to ABBA doing the music. Just listen to the music. That's fine. It's fun music. If you want to have a dance party, not right now, because apparently you have to stay 6 feet away from people. So don't have a solo dance party to the music. You can enjoy the music. You don't need the story. And that's probably the best way to enjoy it.
Yeah, don't play it just yet, because I don't want Dancing Queen in my head.
Oh no, just by you saying Dancing Queen is now stuck in my head.
There you go. Everything's an earworm. That's the other problem. It's an earworm. Mommy is an earworm.
Yes. I think I'm going to have to sing 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall to cleanse my head.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. You can sing about 99 Bottles of Beer and I'll... take care of the 99 bottles of beer.
Take one down.
Just trust me to take care of it. When you take it down, just give it to me and I'll take care of it somewhere else. Okay?
Okay. 97 bottles of beer.
Ellie, so we don't let Emily lose her count. Because if not, she has to start from the beginning. Because we all know she's going to do that. I'm just going to slowly ease the recorder away and sign off for the both of us. We'll catch you next time. Cheers, everyone.
95 bottles of beer on the wall. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Oh My Word. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to subscribe and write a review. And please share the show with your friends. If you didn't like it, you can share the show with your enemies. Please also follow us on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast. There we post episode updates, our ratings for each book, and also our personal reading recommendations. Music for the show is by Tim Burke. Editor is Gabriel Yaffe. We'll see you next week.